The Meaning of Mistletoe, from The Secret Language of Plants, by Andrina, read by Sam Gabriel, based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 3. The End of Childhood. The hawthorn and holly trees had been torn and burned. Only a black skeleton remained, like a mockery, and the trees now looked like giant black spiders. The stones of the hedge had been knocked out in various places. Still, it must have been a wondrous display of magic. Something, someone had slashed through the stones, cutting them. They were still hot and glowing white over the wet grass. Many wizards could cut through a layer of 3 different protective wards when there was fairy magic in effect. But someone had, opening a path for the rest of them. They hadn't been able to cross the wards in the attic, though. If Harry had stayed there, they wouldn't have gotten to him. But he didn't. He didn't. How could he? How could he when he heard some strangers come into his house, knocking the door down in the middle of the night? When he saw 3 wizards capture his dad under a net of silver and heard them scream spell after spell to put the wolf down, the tame wolf that had taken Wolfsbane. Of course, Harry didn't think to run and protect himself. Of course, Harry, standing on the landing of the stairs, didn't turn around and climb up to the attic. He still had a little bit of Remus's fur in his hands, from where he had clung to him, until the giant man lifted him up and dragged him away. Everybody kept talking over him, that he was Harry Potter, the boy who lived, that he had been kidnapped, that of course, poor child, didn't know any better and kept defending the beast, that it was an honor to shake his hand. He would be taken to a wonderful school, not a muggle one. And of course, he wouldn't see that monster ever again. It was going to be so nice. He would love it. That monster was Harry's dad. And Harry was going to a school, all right, 2 towns over, where he would see his friend Olivier again, maybe join the football team. Harry just wanted to be back with Remus in their cottage with the garden and the kitchen and the sunny spot and the stairs. Instead, he spent a week locked in a strange muggle house with people who didn't want him there any more than he wanted to be. And then he was transferred to an inn in Diagon Alley and was told he would be there until the beginning of term in a week's time. There had been quite a large group of wizards to transport Harry, but still he had noticed that 2 of them remained in the house. He supposed it had to do with the family making him sleep in the cupboard under the stairs. He didn't want to think about it. But he remembered that cupboard. He thought he used to think. It was an odd dream from his childhood, but it was not. It was real, and he panicked when they showed it to him, and that man Vernon just pushed him inside and locked the door. But no, of course, Harry was confused, and Remus was the terrible monster, eating children in the night. Remus, who taught Harry the letters, and the names of the living things, and how to control his magic. The same Remus who gave him the naked truth on his 10th birthday, and who later that night held him in his arms as the realization came upon Harry, and he wept for the parents he couldn't remember. Remus who dried his tears and made him a chocolate milk, and told him about the time Lily taught James how to drive a muggle car, and the ensuing disaster, just to make him laugh. They said Remus was a kidnapper, and a liar, and Harry shouldn't trust him. They said that. The same people that trembled and couldn't bring themselves to say the name Voldemort. Harry had read a lot about the Middle Ages when he and Olivia played knights, and also later with his Napoleon phase. He had read quite a lot about history and society. He was certain that Voldemort was not a member of the peerage, and had no right at all to the style Lord. It was so frustrating to keep speaking and have people ignore him, or worse yet, being told that he didn't know what he was saying, that Harry stopped talking altogether. He spent 3 days without saying a single word until the giant man Hagrid noticed and took him to Florian Fortescue's ice cream parlor. Harry hated him, but he had at least noticed and seemed upset, and he kept trying to be nice, although the only thing that would make Harry happy was to have his life back. Harry hated him less than everyone else. For the first time in over 80 hours, he spoke. He said, "Thank you." He ate 2 spoonfuls of the ice cream and let it melt into a sloppy mess. It was triple chocolate with cookie bits. Harry supposed it was good, and he did like chocolate, but his favorite ice cream flavor was lemon. Remus knew that. Severus, too. Nobody had asked him what flavor he wanted. As soon as they entered the place, the owner had greeted them and shook his hand and waved them to a table, saying he would be right away with his best.
"I'm so sorry, lad," said Hagrid.
He did look sorry. His eyes, so warm and kind, were sad when he looked at Harry.
"But you will see. Dumbledore is the wisest man. And Hogwarts is a wonderful place. Everybody likes it there."
How to hell with it. He hated him. He hated all of them. And Harry promised himself that they would not win. Whatever he had to do, he would not let them win. They had come at night, Severus read in the Prophet. It was pure dumb luck that he hadn't been there, that he hadn't gone down with Remus. He had been saved by his father. The one and only thing Tobias Snape ever did for his son. Held on to his miserable life long enough to get some notion of regret, and ask for Severus to come see him as he laid moribund in a hospital in Exeter. That is what kept Severus out of suspicion, and away from the clutches of the Ministry. The newspaper article was currently praising the Auror Office and Magical Misuse Coalition for its heroic labor. Severus had been saved, and he wished he hadn't been. He wished he had been there to defend the house, and when they broke all of the barriers, the ones Severus knew were mighty, the ones Severus knew no ordinary wizard from the Ministry could cross, then Severus would be arrested too, and pay for his crime of stealing a little boy away from a family that didn't bother to report his disappearance to the police. But it was not to be, because it was Severus's curse to see once more his whole world burn down and to remain, like the phoenix, untouched by the fire. It was Severus's curse and privilege to stand in the ashes and be the sole guardian of Harry Potter. In his most private moments, he fantasized about going to the Ministry, storming the cells and freeing Remus, fighting with him and perhaps falling with him, but side by side in any case, together. And Harry would be free to go and live his life and grow up and not have a single demand made of him, not one more request or sacrifice for his part. Harry would be blessed with a common, unexceptional life. But it was not to be, because it was Severus's curse that summer, for the first time in 10 years, to feel a pang, something like an electric shock on his left forearm. And now he could not go and get himself killed and leave Harry alone. And he could not take Harry away from Hogwarts while the tiger lurked outside. End of book one.
For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 and Tumblr pages of Endrina. First pass editing by Ohana. Music by Sean Johnson. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information found on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. There you can also find all the other stories that I've read, as well as links to my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.